back with you. I was out last week, was in Indianapolis for yet another dance competition. So hopefully, maybe one day, I'll be able to go out of town and not have to sit and watch hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of dance. So that was kind of a little awkward because I kept saying hours, but really, it's that like intense. So, but yeah, I'm glad to be back. Shout out to Daniel for speaking last week. I'm so thankful to be a part of a church that has so many incredible pastors that can speak. So it's just great to be back. And so today we're going to kick off a new 4-week message series called Perspective. And so what we're going to do in this series, we're going to spend some time in the book of Philippians. And the book of Philippians is awesome. Me and Daniel were talking about this the other night. It's a great book. It's packed full of wisdom, a lot of information, and it's 4 chapters, which I'm all about that. Short, sweet, to the point, you know, brings the punch. So it's great. But we're going to spend some time, and we're going to focus on some of the high points of this chapter, specifically as it relates to the importance and the power and the life change that can come with just having a different perspective on things. So first, I want to give you a little bit of context surrounding the book of Philippians. So the book of Philippians is the 11th book found in the New Testament, and was actually a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Philippi, which he actually started about 10 years before he wrote this letter. And see, so Paul was an apostle, and he was commissioned and sent out by God to basically go to different cities and share the gospel, you know, introduce people to Christ, lead people to Christ. Then he would raise up leaders and start churches. And that's what he did. That's exactly what he did in Philippi around 52 AD. And he started this church, and man, he loved them. I mean, he had a deep, deep love for the people in the church at Philippi. And you can feel that, and you can see that as you read through those 4 chapters of this incredible book. And around the time that Paul wrote this letter, though, he found himself in some serious need. He had some significant need, and the people at Philippi, at the church, knew that. And so they took up this offering, kind of this love offering for him, and typically Paul wouldn't have accepted that. He didn't ever want to be a burden to the churches, so he typically wouldn't have accepted that. But in this case, he did. He accepted it because of the fact that they had this close relationship. And not only did he receive it, but he was really just kind of blown away by their generosity and their love. And so he writes this very heartfelt thank you letter to them. But of course, he also layers in some wisdom, right? Some instruction, some encouragement, and a lot of different things in there for them to help them to move forward and help them to be better equipped to continue moving the gospel forward. And throughout this letter, you'll find this theme. It's an unmistakable theme of joy. And you'll see it all throughout this book. And what's really interesting here is that while there's this theme of joy, as you read, and if you know about Paul and the situation when he wrote this, on the surface, in his personal life, there was very little reason for him to be joyful at this time. But there was a change of perspective that made all the difference, that led to that joy. And I think it's important to note that just little bits of information that we don't may know at the time can really change one's perspective. I always find that very interesting. I mean, think about for you, maybe an example of this would be that you met somebody, and the first time you met them, they just kind of rubbed you the wrong way, right? Like, how many of y'all, be honest, like, how many of y'all have had that situation, right? I mean, you've had that person, you're just like, I don't know, they're just kind of rude, or they're just abrasive, we just didn't vibe, it didn't feel right, and I really just kind of don't care for them. That's just your natural first reaction. But then you learn a little more about them, right? You hear a little bit about what they're currently going through or what they've been through. You get this little bit of additional information and your perspective changes on them. You go from kind of feeling a certain type of way about them because they're kind of just, like I said, abrasive, and you just don't really vibe well with that kind of, you know, individual. But when you learn that and your perspective changes, you kind of have this heart for them. You understand. You understand differently. You have a change of perspective. And it's powerful. I think about, for me personally, and I think I've shared this before, you know, there was one day, one morning I was headed into work super early and stopped in at Thornton's. And the night before was really rough. I had to, you know, I got off and then I had to go back into work because we had some issues going on. And I was there till like 1 or 2 in the morning and then had to be back in super early. So I roll into Thornton's, grab some coffee. At the time, I had stopped at Thornton's quite often, so they knew me and knew where I worked. And they asked me how it was. And I was like, I'm tired. I said, I didn't get home from work till like 2 in the morning. And now I got to be back here for a meeting. I'm just frustrated. I'm tired. I really don't want to be at work today. And the guy behind me, who I don't know, never met him before, never seen him since, just straight called me out. Like, he had no problem calling me out. He's like, man, just, you need to be thankful that you have a job. He said, my office is directly across the street from the unemployment office, and I see that people lined out the door every single day. Man, you should be thankful you have a job. And it was just like, oh, you're right. And I said, thanks, man, I appreciate that. But his words changed my perspective of my current situation. I went from being frustrated and tired and not wanting to go into work, blah, 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 to being thankful that I had the opportunity and the job and to help at my work with those kids that late, and then to come in the next day early to be able to continue to serve. It was a change of perspective, just with a little bit of information. And a little, you know, dude put me in my place. Whoever you are, thank you. But a little bit of information can go a long way. A change, a switch of perspective can make all the difference. See, when you're reading the book of Philippians, one of the little piece of information that you need to know is that this joy-filled letter of appreciation that Paul wrote, he wrote it as a prisoner. He was a prisoner. We read in Acts chapter 28 that he spent 2 years under house arrest, in chains, it says, and in the constant supervision of Roman guards. That was his situation. And he writes a joy-filled letter. And he was able to do that because this guy had the right perspective on things. He understood what was important. See, he was in prison simply for sharing the gospel, like for preaching the gospel. And see, if you knew anything about, you know anything about Paul, you'll know that one of his dreams, one of his goals and aspirations was to take the gospel to Rome, right? To be a preacher in Rome, to preach in Rome, yet he finds himself as a prisoner instead. In the middle of this significant, what seems to be a significant crisis, right? A life crisis, with a change of perspective, he has joy. And see, we need to understand that when we go through those tough times, when life doesn't seem to be adding up, if we have a different perspective, man, God can and will bring joy. And more than that, he'll do some incredible, incredible things through that because we serve a good God. And so my hope and prayer this morning is that God will use our time together in his word to give you a new perspective in your life in the areas that you need it. So let's go ahead and jump into scripture here. Let's start in Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to start off in verse 2. And Paul writes this to the Philippian church. He says, "Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy." There's that theme of joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident in this, and then he gives them some encouragement. Being confident in this, that he, being God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains, as a prisoner, whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. You see, Paul's here, he's kind of opening up, he's starting this letter, it's the intro, and he's kind of saying, hey, even if I'm in chains, he's kind of laying out to them right off the bat what his current situation was. And I'm sure in reading that, they were concerned, right? Because they loved Paul. They had this deep love for each other. But he's saying, this is my current situation. And you would think that if there was anything at this point in time that Paul would have wanted to change about his current situation, chances are it would have been that he would have not have wanted to have been imprisoned. I mean, I think that's safe to say. He would not want to have been imprisoned, but yet he would want to have been free so that he could go and share the gospel, so that he could go and preach, so that he could go and do what his passion was, to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. That's what he would have wanted. But this just wasn't the case. It wasn't his current situation. Regardless of what he may have wanted, regardless of where he thought he should be, he was in prison. Right? I mean, that was his situation. And I'm sure he wished it was different. So let me just ask, and I want you to really think about this and be honest with yourself. How many of you right now have something in your life that you wish was different? How many of you? You have something in your life that you simply wish was different. Doesn't have to be something major. It could be something small. But if you're honest, you wish something was different. And I think it's pretty safe to say, by the show of hands and just reality, that every single one of us have something that we would say, man, I wish this was different. I wish this was different. I mean, think about it. When we were younger, right, or for those of you that are young in here right now, what did we all want to be? We wanted to be older. Right, I remember thinking, you know, at 13, man, I can't wait till I'm 16 so I can drive and get my license. You know, and then at 16, I can't wait till I can graduate so I can go be out on my own and live life. And then I remember, you know, in my late 20s, like, man, I wish I was back in my teens and didn't have all this responsibility, right? So then when we get older, we're like, I wish I was younger. I started playing in a men's basketball league about 5 weeks ago, and my body is telling me every Tuesday night, bro, I wish you were younger, because my body is not happy with what I'm trying to do to it, and it's really frustrating. Side note, but we get to those places, right, where we're kind of not satisfied. We wish something was different. It could be something small like that, or it could be something more major, but we find ourselves in these situations where we wish things were different. You know, I wish I had a job. Don't have a job, wish I had a job. Or maybe you have a job and you're like, I wish I had a different job. Or I wish I had a job that paid more money. Or I wish I had a job in this industry and not this industry. I wish I lived in this end of town. Or I wish I lived out of this city and in a different city. You know, we always are kind of looking at these things that we wish were different. Again, maybe it's more serious than that. Maybe it's, man, I really wish this wouldn't have happened to me and my family. Maybe you went through something and you're just like, man, I really wish that wouldn't have happened. Or maybe you're currently going through something right now that's just heavy, heartbreaking. And you're like, man, I just wish I wasn't in this situation. Or maybe it's financial. Maybe it's like, you know, I wish I didn't have all these student loans. But whatever it is, you have that thing in your life that you wish was different. And so before we go any further, I want to share with you three quick thoughts about this, really quick. The first thing is, I want you to understand that you're not alone in that. You're not alone in that. We all have a what and don't understand the why. It's reality. We all have that thing in our life that we may want to be different, but we're in it. And we don't understand why. We all have that. We all have that what and don't understand the why. But I also want you to see and understand that God always has a why behind the what. And that is so comforting to me. That God has a reason. He has a purpose. Even if I don't get it. Even if I don't know it. Even if I wish it were different. God has a reason. See, we serve a good God. And no hurt, no trial in your life, no difficult situation is going to be wasted. He's going to use it for his glory and to bring about his kingdom. Because we serve a good God who's working all things together for the good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. He's working it to good. Doesn't mean there's not going to be trials. Doesn't mean there's not going to be a what, that thing that you want to be different. But the reality is there's a why behind it. And then I want you to always remember, and we've talked about this before, I don't have to understand the why to trust God in the what. And that's tough for me. I'll be honest. That's tough. A lot of times I want to know the why. God, let me know why. It'll help me get through. But we don't have to know that to trust God because he's good. Even when it's extremely difficult, you don't have to fully understand the why to trust him. Scripture tells us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord. You can trust him. He's good. He's working all things together for the good. So you don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to know the why in order to trust him with where you're currently at or what's currently going on. So if you find yourself in that place in life right now where you're dealing with something incredibly difficult, something that's overwhelming, something that's suffocating, something that you're like, man, I just don't like it. I don't want to be dealing with this. I don't want to be answering this question or having to jump through this hoop or do this or do that or whatever it may be. You wish something was different in your life. And if that's where you find yourself, man, I want to use God's word today to help you to find that new perspective on that situation. I want you to allow God to give you that new perspective, because he will. And to help you with this, I want to give you two questions to ask yourself when life gets tough. Just two questions that I want you to run through in your mind when you're facing these difficult things. Now, if you're like most people, when life throws you that nasty curveball, or you know that the bottom falls out, you know, our natural instinct is to question why. Why? God, why are you allowing this to happen? God, why is this happening? What's going on? But I want to encourage you to sidestep that question for the better question. And the better question is this: now what? Not why, but now what? Okay, God, this is happening. This is the situation. Now what? What is it that you want me to learn from this? God, what is it that you want to do through this hurt or through this mess? Now what? Now, God, what do you want to show me? I trust you. I don't get it. I don't know why, but I trust you. So now what? What do you want to show me through this? And this is exactly what we see happening starting in verse 12 with Paul. And Paul says this to the church at Philippi. He says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. What happened to Paul, him being imprisoned, man, that was his what, right? And it actually served to advance the gospel. His situation, the thing that he would not have chosen for himself, the thing that he would, if he could have, probably said, yeah, I want this to be different. It cleared the way for his ultimate goal and calling to be fulfilled, that the gospel was going out. It cleared the way. He said, it has actually served. The what? The thing that has happened to me is serving to advance the gospel. So what has happened to you? What is your what? What has happened to you? Maybe it's your job. Maybe things aren't going well. Or again, maybe it's that you don't have one and you're searching for one and you can't seem to get one. Maybe you're in a tough place financially. Maybe there's some physical things that are taking place that's just not great. It's not what you wanted for yourself or for this situation. Maybe it's a relational mess. A relationship that you really care about is going south. What has happened to you? What is it that you're going through that you don't like? That you didn't plan for, wasn't part of your master plan. A year and a half ago, you wouldn't have said, yep, this is where I want to be. What happened? Paul was in this exact boat. He had a what? He was imprisoned. But he says, hey, check this out. What happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. He's basically letting the Philippians and us today know that what may seem really bad in the moment, this current situation feels terrible. It seems like there's no win here. Man, God might be actually doing something incredible through that. It may be clearing the way for something that you, man, that you would have never have dreamt that he was going to do through you or through that situation. It actually served to advance the gospel. See, he had a different perspective on the situation. He didn't see it as, I'm in prison, woe is me. No, he said, God, now what? This is where I'm at. What are you going to do through this? What do I need to learn? And it served to advance the kingdom. Now, if you find yourself in these situations, man, I know you're thinking to yourself, man, like, that's cool, but I don't see any good that's going to come out of this. Like, I don't see, that's great, congrats, Paul, that's Paul, but I'm me. And I don't feel God's presence in this. I don't see how God is going to use this. Man, I want to encourage you to change your perspective. It's not easy. We need to have a perspective switch. And God can give that to you. When you seek him and you trust him, even when you don't understand the answer, when you trust him, he will give you that perspective. Because again, he's working all things to the good for those that love him. See, our God specializes in taking what seems to be the down and out or the terrible situation or these obstacles, man. He takes those and he turns them into these divine opportunities to win. To advance the gospel, to advance his kingdom, to bring glory to himself. But we first have to change our perspective. Man, there's times that we just don't understand. Sometimes that's best, because if we understood, we couldn't handle it in that moment and in that time. But there's those times we don't understand, but know that God is there. He's there with you through the trial, through the struggle. Whatever it may be, he's with you. If we can learn to shift our perspective and ask, God, now what? This is the situation, now what? What do you want me to learn? What are you trying to do through me? Verse 13, check us out. It says, as a result, Paul's writing this, as a result, what has happened to me, The gospel is being advanced. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace, or throughout the whole palace guard, and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. It has become clear to everyone that I'm in chains for Christ. You see, originally, I mean, they thought they were punishing him, right? We're going to put him on house arrest, throw him in there for a couple years, chained up, have a Roman guard with him 24/7. So this is a punishment, right? It seems like this would be a low point in Paul's life and ministry. A time of trial and crisis, of unjust punishment, doubt, despair. His overall mission of taking the gospel to Rome, man, it seems like it was a failure. But not with God. See, they intended this to be a punishment, but think about it. Who was he in that house with 24/7? Roman guards. Man, he had a captive audience. Right? He had a captive audience to begin to share the gospel with some of the key, most powerful people in Rome. Not just to the Roman people, but to some of the most powerful people, the Roman guards. He said, well, I want you to know that what has happened to me is actually serving to advance the gospel. When you go through tough times, man, have a shift and a change of perspective. Because what the enemy may intend for destruction, for despair, to tear you down, God is going to take it and do something beautiful with it. He's going to win. He's going to show you new things. He's going to do things in and through you. And man, some of you right now are going through it. You're going through some tough times, some trials. But understand that your trial today could be that powerful testimony tomorrow. I've seen it time and time and time again throughout my own personal life and also in the lives of the people around me, where they go through that terrible, dark, frustrating, hurtful time. And God uses that in a powerful way to advance his kingdom. That trial today could be your testimony tomorrow. Check this out, verse 14. And I don't think we have this up front of the screen. I didn't send that out. But it says this, and because of my chains, the situation that he would not have chosen for himself, because of my chains, most of my brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Because of his chains. Because of that thing that he didn't necessarily want. The thing that he wished he could have made different. But because of that, not only is the gospel advancing, not only does he have the opportunity to present the gospel to some Roman guards, but his brothers and sisters, man, they've seen this and they've heard this, and the kingdom is advancing and they're sharing the gospel with boldness because of a change of perspective. He's able to see things differently. So when those tough times come, man, the first thing I want you to learn to ask is, now what? God, what do you want to do? I don't understand it. I don't like it. But what do you want to do in this? The second question that we may need to ask is, so what? So what? So what now? Or so what? Right? See, at the time, there was some division also in the church. That Paul is going to address here in verse 15. And he says this. I absolutely love this passage. So it is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up some trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? He's basically saying, so what? He says, what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of that, I rejoice. And he's like, some people are preaching for their own selfish reasons and their own to bring glory to them or whatever it may be. And some have genuine, you know, genuine motives. And he's like, so what? The gospel's being preached. So let's rejoice, right? He's like, man, sure, we could get all fired up about it. You know, we could get upset. We could call them out. We could expose who they really are, drag their name through the mud. We could do all that. But so what? What really matters here? What's the most important piece? Is the most important piece to drag their name through the mud, or is it that the gospel is being presented? And he said, Christ is preached, and because of that, I rejoice. It's a change of perspective. And in 2018, at times, man, I really believe we need to take a page out of Paul's playbook. I say, so what? Not in everything. Not in every single situation. But there's some times, right, we have some things that are bothering us. And we really need to just learn to say, so what? What does it matter? Shift that perspective and keep it moving. What does it matter? But see, if you're like me, maybe you really struggle with hyper-focusing on the things that don't really matter. I really struggle with this. I'm a perfectionist. I like to focus in on every little detail of every little thing, and I focus in on things at times that don't really matter. It's frustrating. I get all fired up. It's frustrating for me. It's frustrating for people around me. If you have to work with me a lot, I'm sorry. Jen, I'm sorry. But it's a struggle at times. So if that's you, I want to give you a little test that I think will help. So anytime that something frustrates you, right? Something bothers you, or it's just kind of weighing on you, I want you to just kind of sit back, quiet yourself for a second, and just ask yourself, is this really going to matter in 50 years? In 50 years, is this going to be a big deal? To be honest, I did this today. Is this even going to matter in 50 years? And if the answer is no, so what? Keep it moving. Because if it doesn't matter, it's not that important. And honestly, most of the time, it's not even going to matter in a year. But yet we hyper-focus on it like it's the end-all, be-all. We've got to learn to say, so what does it matter? Again, not in every situation. There's some things that really matter that we need to focus on. But we've got to learn how to shift that perspective so that we can weigh what does matter and what doesn't. Because see, when we focus on everything, when everything matters, when everything's important, nothing's important, right? I mean, we've heard that all the time. If everything's important, nothing's important. But when we can push to the side the things that don't really matter, it frees us up to focus on what really does. And that's where you can be impactful. And that's where God can begin to use you. When you focus on the things that are truly important. And again, like I said, I've struggled with this. I think back on Christmas Eve this past year, I received an email. And, man, I started hyper-focusing on this email. I mean, big time. And it was Christmas Eve, and we were going over to my mother-in-law's for Christmas and to celebrate. And we get there, and I sit on the couch, and I start drafting the most incredible response in all of history. It was slick. It was so good. And I'm just going to work on my phone. My kids are opening up gifts. Everyone's hanging out. There's this, and that. And I wasted an opportunity to be with my family, to respond to something that doesn't matter, that didn't matter, and 4 months later, doesn't matter. But did spending time with my kids and my wife and my family matter? Absolutely. But I wasted it. Time I'll never get back because I focused on the thing that didn't matter when I should have said, so what? What does it matter? It doesn't. So push that to the side so that I can be freed up to focus on what did matter. It's about perspective. That moment changed my perspective on some things. And I've got to keep revisiting it. I got to go back to remind myself because it's a struggle. But we've got to learn to do that. So if you get that nasty email from a coworker, think about it. Does it really matter? Is there any validity to it? Is there any credibility? And if not, so what? Keep it moving, right? If you're watching the NBA playoffs, right? Or, you know, the season finale of whatever your favorite show is, and the cable goes out, does that really matter? No. So what? keep it moving. It doesn't matter. If you're driving to work and you spill a little coffee on your shirt, don't freak out. Does it matter? No. Be thankful you had coffee, because that's a good morning, right? You started off right, but it doesn't really matter. If you interviewed and applied for a promotion or this job and you didn't get it, does it hurt? Yeah. Does that sting? Yeah. But 50 years from now, is that necessarily going to matter? No. Pick yourself up and keep going. So what? What does it matter? When we're able to push off the things that don't really matter, we can then focus on what really does. But we have to change our perspective in order to do that. We also have to know what does really matter, right? So what does matter? Well, God matters. He matters a lot. Loving and serving other people, that matters. Let me say that again. Loving and serving other people matters. Eternity matters. It does. Using your gifts and the talents that God has blessed you with and given you, using that, that matters. Fulfilling the Great Commission, taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, that matters. These are things that matter. But if we're focused on these little bitty things that we should say so what to and keep it moving, if we focus on that, all these other things are going to go by the wayside. And we're not going to be focused on what really matters. And see, Paul, man, he got it. There's these people that are preaching out of, you know, bad intentions. They're trying to glorify themselves. So what? Gospel's being presented. Let's focus on what we're about here and let's keep moving forward. See, he got it. He had the right perspective. He understood what didn't matter and wasn't important and what did matter and what was important. And this is exactly why he was able to write some of the most incredible words, words that I wish and hope and pray that I could say in verse 21, where he says, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Those are powerful words from someone who has the right perspective on life, from someone who gets it, from someone who knows what's important and what's not important. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You see, while he's imprisoned, he's waiting trial to know whether he's going to live or whether he's to be executed. It's the limbo that he's sitting in. That was his situation. But he got it. He knew what was important. For me to live, that's Christ. If I get to live, I'm going to continue on sharing the gospel. I'm going to keep living it out. My life is going to be a reflection of Christ. Everything I say and I do is to glorify him. So for me to live, man, it's Christ. And if it's the other side, if it's to die, I'm in the presence of God. Because of his perspective, it didn't matter. So what? It's a win-win. But see, a lot of times we would look at that situation and be devastated. We gotta shift our perspective. Focus on the things that really matter. You see, we all have a what, and we don't understand the why. But the good news is that God always has a why behind the what. So encouraging. He has a why. He has a reason. He has a purpose for what you're going through. And we need to remember that, man, you don't have to understand completely in order to trust God, that he's in control and that he's always good. And if you're going through a tough situation, man, I'll pray for you. We'll be there with you. I'm not trying to minimize that whatsoever, but I want to encourage you to begin to change your perspective on your situation, on that thing that you wish were different. Change your perspective. Begin to ask, God, now what? What do you want me to learn? What do you want to do through this? Now what? And maybe you need to begin to ask, so what? What does it matter? Is this what's really important? Or do I need to kind of move past that and focus and give my time and my energy on what really does matter. Man, in those dark and difficult times, I want to remind you that we serve a good God, that he loves you, wants to work all things out together for good. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but he loves you. He wants you to win. He wants to do incredible things through you. We are so blessed. The fact that he has a purpose for your life, you're blessed. And so we need to embrace him and seek him and allow him to give us that new and fresh perspective on whatever our situation is. A new perspective can bring about incredible joy. Let's pray. God, we thank you. God, we thank you so much for the fact that you love us, that you are a good God, that regardless of whatever we're going through, how difficult, how dark, how alone we may feel, the fact remains is that you are with us, that you promise never to leave us nor forsake us. And God, I'm so thankful for that. As we continue in prayer this morning, maybe you're here and you've never come to know Christ as your Savior. You've been coming to LifePoint Church, or you've been checking out the things of Christ and just kind of seeking and searching, but you've never stepped over that line of faith. Maybe it's because you have a false perspective of things. Maybe it's because you're letting the little things that you don't know distract you, keeping you from the greatest decision you could ever make in your life. If that's you this morning, I encourage you to keep seeking, keep asking and seeking God. But I also want to encourage you just to step over that line of faith, to trust him, to give him your life. Scripture says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. If you confess and believe that you'll be connected with him for all eternity, he will never leave you. He will work all things together for good. Doesn't mean your life's going to be perfect. Doesn't mean that there's not going to be trials and there's not going to be hiccups and speed bumps in the road and curveballs that come and knock your feet out from under you. But what it does mean is that when that happens, he's there. And he's got your back. He's there to pick you up. He's there with arms wide open for you to run back into his arms. He's a good God. He loves you and wants to be in relationship with you, which is the most incredible thing that I can think of, is that God wants to be in a relationship with me. He wants to be in a relationship with you. So if that's you this morning, just call on his name. Confess and believe, however he leads. Confess and believe. And if that's you and you want to talk to somebody about that, we'll have people up here in a second. Some of our leaders and our staff, or I'll be up here if you want to speak with somebody, ask some questions or whatever it may be, we're here for you. Or you can just do that from your seat. Doesn't matter. What matters is you connecting with God. But maybe you're here this morning and, man, you've got some things in your life that you wish were really different. And I want you to seek God for that new perspective. Ask him, now what? I trust you. It's tough. It's not easy. It's not the greatest time of my life right now, but I trust you, so now what? What do you want to do through this? What do you want to show me? What do I need to learn? Or maybe it's, so what? What does it matter? God, does this matter? And if the answer is no, then brush it aside. Focus on what does matter. Don't let the enemy distract you from being all that God has created you to be and doing all that God has created you to do, because that would be his greatest joy. to keep you on the sidelines. Refuse to let that happen. Focus on what's important. But wherever you're at, whatever your situation is right now, man, just pray that God would give you a new perspective. Even if it's a small tweak or a major change, man, I pray that over you this morning. So as I close out in prayer, like I said, we'll have some of our leaders and pastors up front. If you would like someone to pray over you or pray with you, if you have questions about receiving Christ, man, they'll be here for you to do that. Or if you just want to pray from your seat, you can do that as well. You are free to do and act however God leads in this moment. God, we thank you again. We thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. God, we thank you for making a way for us to be made right with you through your Son. God, we thank you. And during this time, Lord, I pray that you would speak to each and every person here, God, whatever it is that you need them to hear, whatever it is they need to hear to be able to take a step forward closer to you, closer to living out your calling in their life, closer to being free in you, God. God, you speak truth to them, and may we be responsive as people. God, we love you and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.